We are in a series called Heaven Calling. I don't know if you knew it was called Heaven Calling, because I didn't say that last week, but that's what I call it, Heaven Calling. And last week I started talking about something that is true for every person on this planet, whether they know Jesus yet or not, whatever their background, whatever their age, whatever their nature. They may not know it yet, but someone thought them up. And there is a reason why they are alive in the universe. And that reason is that they have been called by God. Not on the phone. Christian language is full of words that don't really get much usage outside of church. Technical words, which are important, but most people today don't actually understand. Words like sin or redemption. Or blessing. These are technical words. But the word calling is actually a perfectly common word in the English language. But we use it to mean something very specific. Is that dead again? Well done. We use it to mean something very specific. The idea that we are all called by God. Not just special people like evangelists or missionaries or even pastors, but every one of us. You have a calling. Just think for a moment about how many lives would not be touched, how many hearts would not be comforted, how many hungry people would not be fed, how much hope would not be given if you and I do not respond to God's calling in our lives. What would the world look like if that happened? So this is important. And last week, we saw how the first and most important dimension to God's calling is very simply to be. God's calling doesn't start with a thing to do or a task to accomplish. It starts with a person that God wants you and me to be. In fact, God calls you to be the person that he had in mind when he first thought you up. And we saw how in the Bible people would often be given names, sometimes new names, to reflect the idea of the sort of person that they were to be or to become. So Abraham, father of many nations, Peter, the rock, even Jesus himself, the name Jesus means God saves. That's who he was, the embodiment of God's salvation. So, well, that brings us to the second aspect, the second dimension of calling. First, God sees something in you and calls you to become. And then, and this is not anything that we are doing, it's a call to belong. A call to belong. The Greeks had two words for calling. Keleluo was the word that they used if you were going to give someone commands or instructions or tell them what to do. That is not the word that the New Testament chose to use for God's kind of calling. The other word, kaleo, was used to speak to a person to bring them nearer, either physically nearer or relationally nearer. That's the word they chose in the New Testament. Jesus' whole mission began when he called people to belong to a little circle, a little redemptive community. This is what Mark 3 says. Jesus went up into the hills and called to himself those he wanted, and they came to him. He appointed 12 who he called apostles, that they might be with him. And now they belonged, starting with just 12 people. But this community of belonging kept getting bigger and bigger. Paul writes to the people in Rome, who were a long, long way away, and you also are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. And now it's you and I. This is our calling. It's nothing we've done. It's to belong. Now, I want you to understand why I keep going on about the fact that it is nothing that we've done. It's not just because God is doing all the work, which he is, but that's not quite the point I'm making. The point is that belonging does not mean that you work really, really hard to get people to be impressed with you so that they want to be around you. That is not belonging. Not the called belonging that we're called to. It is when people know you, really know you, and they still want you. We don't belong because of what we've done. If anything, we belong despite what we've done. That's why the call to belong staggers people. That's why John, a great friend of Jesus, when he was an old man, wrote this: "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God. And that is what we are." That is what we are. We didn't do anything for that one. And if any one of you here right now thinks that you are not qualified, that there is too much junk, that there is too much brokenness, too much darkness in your life, hear Jesus' words. This is what Jesus said: "I have not come to call," that word again, "the righteous, but sinners." Anyone in here ever sinned or thought about doing so? Jesus is still calling people sinners. "I want you. I want you. Come and be my friend. Come and belong to me. Be my follower." And by the way, if you've never done it, you can do that today. Say, "Jesus, yeah, I know I'm a sinner. I'm sorry. I understand about the cross. I want to belong to you." To belong to him and to belong to his community, that is the call. We didn't do anything to earn it or merit it or deserve it. It is just a call. We're called to become what we are not yet. Only God can do that in us. And we are called to belong to the one to whom we could never deserve to be called. He sees the good stuff in us that we don't see yet. He sees the bad stuff in us that's already there that we're sometimes blind to. And he calls us to become, and he calls us to belong. Now, I touched on something there that is a really important second part of this. So far, we've been talking about how we've been called to belong to Jesus Christ. But if we belong to Jesus, that means that we belong to his family too. So Paul writes to the Ephesians, "Now you are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You belong to God's family." And this is really important. We don't just belong to God, we belong to his family. And guess what? God's family is called the church. 1 Timothy 3 says this: "I'm writing to you so that you will know how to live in the family of God." That family is the church of the living God. And by the way, the word for church in the Bible is the Greek word ecclesia. It literally means the called out ones. So the church is made up of people who are called by God, called to become the people that God intended them to be, called through their faith in Jesus to do God's work in this world, called to be his representatives, and called to be his family. That's the church. And this is why I keep ranting on about how we are not building a church. So many people came up to me yesterday to ask about the new church and when the new church would be finished and what the church would look like. And I had to be really restrained because it really wasn't the time to give a lecture about this. But in the Bible, the church is not a building. The church isn't a program. The church isn't a career. Church is not something you go to. Church is something you belong to. It is not an event. It's not a location. Church is a relationship. Here's something else. The word church or ecclesia is found in the Bible 115 times. 20 of those times, it refers to all Christians throughout the whole of history. But 95 of those times, the vast majority of those times, it refers to a local group of Christians, like the church at Philippi, or the church at Corinth, or the church at Rome. If anyone has ever told you that you don't need to be part of a church to be a Christian, that's a lie. It is a clear biblical truth that all Christians need to be part of a local ecclesia, a local church, like the church here in Peebles. Now, to quote Kent Hughes, on the most elementary level, you do not have to go to church to be a Christian. You don't have to go home to be married either. But in both cases, if you do not, you will have a very poor relationship. So it's not to say that if you're not part of a church, you can't be a Christian, but there is no such thing as a growing, healthy, solo Christian. Every Christian needs to join and get involved in a local ecclesia, a local church, because you are called by God to do so. You're called to belong. You have spiritual gifts from God that are intended to be used in a church like this one. Churches aren't just for attending, they're for joining. One reason God calls us to join a church is because a church provides benefits that you cannot get on your own. And in the time that we've got left this morning, we're going to look at three metaphors, three pictures of the church in the Bible, which Rick Warren writes about in one of his books. Actually, he has five metaphors, but we've only got time for three. So if you want to find out the other two, you'll have to read his book. Each of these pictures helps us to understand some of these benefits. We've already used the first metaphor. Let's look at it a bit more closely. The Bible says that the church is a family. Ephesians 2:19 puts it like this: "Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints of the household or family of God." The strangest things happen in this place. So here's the benefit of being in a church family. In God's family, I learn my true identity. Church family helps you understand who you are and why you are here. Tony Campolo, you may know of, is a writer and lecturer in the US. And he used to talk about his days as a professor at Eastern University in the States. He said that from time to time, students halfway through the course would come into his office and say something like, "Professor Campolo, I'm going to take a year off from my studies so that I can go and find myself." And Campolo would laugh and say, "No student ever came back and said, 'Professor, I found myself just west of Detroit.'" The fact is, we can't find ourselves. We cannot learn our true identity on our own. We need the help of others. That's the way it works. Our relationships help to define us. Here's a few examples of what I mean. I'm a son. I'm a grandson. I'm a husband. I'm a father. I'm a friend. I'm a pastor. I know, add things like I'm an archer or I'm an astronomer, but they're not really about who I am. They're about what I do or what I like. The things that really help define who I am and why I'm here are all relationships. The problem is, if my relationships are poor or get broken, then my identity is threatened. Ask anyone who has gone through a divorce They know that after the divorce, they ask, who am I now? Because their relationship, their identity was tied to that person. If your parent dies or your spouse dies, it's perfectly common and natural and normal for people to think, what now? Who am I now? What's my place? What's my role? My identity is not the same. And the sad fact is that most earthly relationships don't last. They change or they end. This is one of the benefits of being in a church family. The church will never end. Some of the individual relationships in it can be just as painful, but the family that you're in will not end. And a healthy local church is full of people who know that they are spiritual brothers and sisters. They are super siblings, friends who will stick closer than a brother. And they remind us that we are part of an eternal family. And if you are surrounded in a church family by brothers and sisters, that helps you learn that as a Christian, you are God's child. That, first and foremost, is your identity. That's who you are. Here's a second metaphor for the church, and this comes from 1 Corinthians 3, where it says, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple, and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? So the benefit here is this. In God's temple, I am supported by other believers. Some of you have been along, I know, to the building site this week to watch the piling being driven very noisily into the ground. The purpose of that piling is to support the structure of the building. And then on top of the piling, all linked to it, Gordon and Ranald have been trying to get me to understand this, and I haven't quite got it into my head yet, but I think it'll become clear when we see it happening this week. There are concrete slabs which will also support the building. And on top of those, there will be the steel framework, which also supports the building. In fact, most of the work that is being done in these first few weeks of the project is about supporting the building. Is that right, Gordon? Good. I've got something right. That's good. Everything connects together for strength. And if we missed out one of those steps, if we had the slabs without the piling, or if the steel frame wasn't connected to the concrete slabs, or if the girders on the roof wasn't connected to the uprights, the whole building wouldn't be strong enough. But God's family, the church, isn't built with steel girders. It's built with people. Here's what Paul says in Ephesians 2. In Christ, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. We are to be a building constructed by God where each person is connected for strength. Next metaphor. In Christ's body, I discover my unique value. Just have a look round for a moment. Go ahead, have a look round at the people around you. How many people can you see that are exactly like you? None, of course. Because we are all unique. We have different talents, different insights, different experiences, different spiritual gifts. And that is God's plan. He loves variety. So he made us all different, which means we all have unique roles to play, all important roles. Listen to how Paul puts this. In Romans 12, just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. Did he get that? each part has a special function. You cannot be what God purposed you to be without your being part of a church family, without doing your part in a church family. Without a local church, you are just a hand or a nose or an ear floating around on your own. And equally, the church cannot be without what God purposed it to be without you doing your part in the church family. Because every part of the church is vitally important. Every person, every part is incredibly valuable. Each one of our church family here, every single person in this family has incredible value. I constantly pray that God would send us more members, not because I want to boast to people about how big we are as a church, but because I know that every believer has gifts and talents that a church needs to do what God calls us to do. And so the more members we have, the more we can do for God. Each of us finds our true value as members of churches like this. In a moment, we're going to share the Lord's Supper together. And our main focus as we do that is on Jesus and on what he has done. But let's not forget that one of the most important elements of communion, this is why it's called communion, is that we do it together. We do it as those who have been called to belong to Christ and to belong to his family. Maybe God is speaking to you today about a new way of belonging. Maybe you've never settled that issue of belonging to Jesus before, and today's your day. All right, Jesus, I want to belong to you. Maybe it's belonging to his family. That's part of our calling, to make a commitment to a body, to a group of brothers and sisters. And if you've not taken that step of becoming a member of a church, that could be a very significant step in your spiritual life. That's answering the calling of God to belong. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God.